Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Father, we rejoice that Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior this morning. Praise God. Death and hell and Satan could not stop the love of God, and we should all be celebrating in that fact this morning. Because if death, hell, or the grave could have stopped it, it sure wanted to, but could not do that. Father, we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. This day, all across our nation and around the world, there's a shout that's going up. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Whatever the agnostics and the atheists and others would say, I know He lives, He lives, He lives, because You live within my heart, Father. We commit this nation into Your hands this morning, Father. We pray for those who lead us. We pray for the president, the senators, the congressmen. Father, we pray for mayors and commissions across our states. We pray, Father, that You would have mercy on our nation, that we would have a great awakening, a great revival. Father, we pray for our own families, that our families would be saved, that those in our neighborhood, Father, across this city and across the nation, that there would be this great awakening and great revival. For Father, on this resurrection morning, we need more than just to show up to have our attendance taken. Father, today we show up to check in with heaven, and we want to say with our mouth and say with our life and say with our steps, Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us, and we give praise to You, and we know that our confidence is secure, and we know that our sins are forgiven, and we know that Your mercy and grace has not been extinguished, but it continues. And Father, we know this, that the darker the night, the brighter the light when we walk with You. We welcome You, Holy Spirit. We welcome You to come and touch our hearts today. Those, as we are in this building, as well as those that will be watching and joining us by live stream, those that will perhaps join by radio at some point, we pray, Father, for Your anointing to spread across our land. We give thanks and praise to You. And everyone said, hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'm going to start this morning in Isaiah chapter 53. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Because it just kind of lays out why we need Easter. We need Easter because of us, right? You know, if you don't have a mirror this morning, you can look at someone else, and I could look at Cynthia and say, well, we need Easter because Cynthia needs Easter, but Cynthia's looking at me, and I need it too, don't I, Cynthia? This is a contagion that our great, 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 you know, Adam back there wasn't so great. He introduced us to sin, and it's reigned on the planet. But thank God for Jesus, who came and conquered sin and conquered death, so we could have life. And today is really a celebration of that life that we have through Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at several scriptures this morning. Isaiah chapter 53, let's look at the Word of God this morning. Who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal His saving power? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about His appearance, nothing to attract us to Him. He was despised. When you read this, you have to just know that these characteristics of his life were so he could understand us. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses, our sins he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were punishment from God for his own sins, but verse 5 says it all, doesn't it? He was wounded and crushed. Wounded and crushed. Wounded and crushed for, I'd like you to say, my sins. My sins. He was beaten that we, that I might have peace. He was whipped, and by his stripes, right, we were healed. All of us, here we go. This is why we need Easter. All of us, yes, don't look around. This is personal. All of us have strayed away like, you could even add in there, dumb sheep. Someone said sheep have to be the dumbest animal on the planet. I don't know if that's true or not, but we are like sheep who need a shepherd. I know that. We have left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the guilt, the iniquities, and sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. But who among the people realized that he was dying for their sins, that he was suffering for their punishment? He had done no wrong, and he never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. And look at verse 10. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and fill him with grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude, say multitude, of children. Are any of you his kids this morning? The multitude of kids, here we are all over the world today. Many heirs, he will enjoy long life. Lord's plan will prosper in his hands. Amen. Well, that is Isaiah 53. We're familiar with that passage. We're going to look at some other passages this morning. Look at some of the resurrection account and story. Did you know that there were 5 appearances on Resurrection Day of Jesus to individuals that we know of? 5. And did you know that there were 5 indications or references to Jesus showing up that's given in the Word of God beyond the day of resurrection? But we have 5 for Resurrection Day. And when we look at these 5 accounts, we see that prior to Jesus presenting himself, there were great questions. Even when someone who was convinced tried to convince the hearers that Jesus had risen, there was great difficulty in believing. You may say, well, why would they have such a hard time? Because I believe there were 3 clear references where Jesus said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested there. I'm going to die there. But all 3 times, he said, I believe all 3 times, I will be buried, but on the 3rd day, I will rise from the dead. And so I would ask you the question, why would those closest to him who heard him say those things not just expect that it would happen and look for it to happen? I mean, would you not think that they would all be waiting? Day one, we have two to go. Day two, it's almost time. Almost 3 nights in the ground, 3 days. Third day is coming. Don't you think they would have all been out there waiting the third day with expectancy? Because had they not learned that what he spoke happened? Did the disciples, did they forget that when they had just a couple fish and a few loaves of bread, that Jesus broke the bread and the fish and fed the multitudes, and then again he did it with thousands that he fed, miraculously multiplying? Could Peter possibly have forgotten when Jesus said, "Go and the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth. Take that coin out of its mouth." Could Peter forget that? Or could the disciples forget that night they are struggling to cross the sea? And as they're crossing the sea, they are in this storm and the waves are so violent that they cannot make any progress. And they're confident that they're going to go down. And about that time, they see what they called, "This has got to be a ghost. We're seeing things." But it was Jesus, wasn't it? Could they forget that? Or could they forget the day they're in the boat and Jesus is asleep on the cushion? And the storm came up and the boat is about to go down and they're all anxious. And they waken Jesus and say, "Aren't you concerned that we're about to drown?" Let me just stop there for one moment and let you know that it may look like we're about to drown in our nation, but God is still Lord of the storm. It may look like the people around you and some of your closest family are not listening to what's being said, but let me tell you, God knows how to get the message into the heart so it can break through that hard, crusty shell and produce life. Could they forget all those things? I don't believe they forgot all those things. But then there is life. Life's painful. It's messy. There's questions. There's pain. There's challenges. There's sickness. There's disease. And then there's death. And there's something about the place I live and you live and the generation we live in where the enemy scrapes up enough bad news to do his very best to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus and to forget what he's told us. I mean, we may say, "Well, I, you know, what God's done in my life, I can never forget that. It's absolutely genuine. It's real. It's for real." And I say that. I stand on that. And yet I have to honestly tell you this morning that there have been times, there was one morning in particular, we were getting ready for communion, and I wasn't able to take communion that morning. And I'm the pastor. I wanted to take communion that morning. I wanted to be able to do that. I hadn't scheduled anyone else to speak. I was sitting in the front. The ushers came to share communion with me, and the Holy Spirit said, "What about this?" And I'd love to tell you that I've always remembered all the Lord said and all the Lord's done, but I have to tell you honestly this morning that there have been times when I need to go back to the cross and I need to go back to my knees and I need to go back and say, "Father, I want resurrection life to take over again because I took my eyes off of you for a moment too long." And that morning, that was embarrassing. The ushers came and I said, "No, thank you." And They still tried to give it to me, and I said, no, thank you. And another usher came and tried to give me communion, and I said, no, thank you. And by that time, I had tears, and I said, Lord, I'll deal with that this week. He said, I wanted you to deal with it this past week. Yes, you can still deal with it, but I don't want you to get up this morning with defiled lips. I'd said something that needed to be dealt with. And someone else was ready to speak. Maybe your alliance, maybe it's much stronger than Peter. Do you remember Peter? Peter, I believe he meant it totally when Peter said, listen, I'm ready to die with you, Lord. You can count on me. I'm going to be there with you. I believe he meant every word he said. But something happened when the circumstances changed. When he was pulled off balance a little bit. When the enemy bullied him. No, he was ready to fight. Wait a minute. Don't think Peter did not have any boldness that night in the garden. He was ready with the sword. Do you want us to fight, Lord? Now Peter was better with the sword than he was with the towel. Remember, you know, Peter was the one that said, no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. That's a dirty job. And besides that, it's not the job for my Messiah to do. That's a job for a servant to do. Peter was the one that said, no, you'll never wash my feet. Then Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you cannot be a part of me. And then Peter got it kind of right and said, okay, then wash me totally. I want to be totally washed. Then he said, no, if I wash your feet, you'll be clean, you know. Peter meant... he meant to stand till death, but then we see him running, don't we? So then we come to resurrection morning. I'm not going to go back through all the words on the cross and all that was there. I just want to say this part where he said, it is finished. That's really important to me. And then he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. As he takes his last breath, he makes a declaration that every plan and intention of the enemy to destroy those who would be redeemed by the love of God, every plan of the enemy against them has just been completely destroyed. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us that we might be saved. So we come to this morning where someone showed me the pictures of a sunrise service, I believe, this morning at Hope Sound. What an amazing picture that is. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices. You remember that part, right? They got up before daylight and they're going out and they are looking to bring spices for the embalming. Well, that in and of itself tells us that they were focused on the fact that he was gone. They weren't remembering. But yet they were going and they're heading in that direction. Of course, there was an earthquake and the stone's been rolled away and all of that. And the women get to the tomb very early in Mark 16. I like Mark and the way Mark lays it out very early on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb when the sun was rising, just starting to pop up. And they were saying among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back. And it was great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in white, a white robe. They were amazed. They're amazed the stone's rolled. It's a big stone. And they're amazed because there was a Roman guard that had been stationed to make sure that no one rolled it away. Have you ever thought of the fact that actually the Pharisees and Sadducees who didn't believe him actually believed there was a danger that he might actually be stolen out of the tomb? Remember that? It seems they got that message better than those who were following Jesus. And he said unto them, "Be not amazed," to the ladies, "fear not. You seek Jesus the Nazarene, which hath been crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples," and I love Mark including this, because I think this is really important, because Peter had denied three times. So in Mark's gospel, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." There's special emphasis there because Peter may have had a problem that some of us deal with, and that is, even after God forgives us, we still condemn ourselves and say, "I'm not worthy. How could God use me again? How could there be a place for me in the kingdom after all I've done?" And I'm sure Peter is still thinking about denying and running and cursing. But God is running too. The Holy Spirit is running. It's not just that Peter was running. Peter ended up weeping bitterly. And the Spirit of God went after him. And here the message is, "Tell his disciples and Peter, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he has said." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. They are overwhelmed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, so they have this encounter with the angels. They've not seen, no one has seen Jesus yet at this point. And they're going to try to convince the rest of the disciples that Jesus is risen. And when I read in Luke and I read in John, in Luke chapter 24, verse 11, these words appeared to the apostles. They appeared in their sight as idle talk, and they disbelieved them. They could not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. But Luke tells us that Peter rose up after he heard, and Peter ran to the tomb. John tells us that the disciple Jesus loved also ran to the tomb. Peter outran him, but they get there, and you know, so we know John and Peter, they're there at the tomb, and they look in. Peter goes in and sees that, you know, the napkin is folded up, the head guard, and our Jewish messianics talk a lot about that, that when that's folded up, it speaks to the fact that I'm not finished, I'm going to be coming back. And Peter saw that everything was in perfect order, and he realized that the tomb clothes had been vacated. And so Peter actually seems to have a lot of faith operating at this point. It tells us in John that the disciples, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Wait a minute. They had heard it, but they didn't know it. I mean, when someone asks me and they say, "How do you know that God is talking to you?" And it's kind of hard to explain, because God knows how to talk to us in our knower that's somewhere inside. I'm not sure where it is, but the Holy Spirit knows how to talk to us. In fact, John says that his sheep hear his voice. And so somehow their hearing was not working. Their spiritual hearing was not working well, and their remembrance was not working well. For as yet they knew not the scripture. They had heard it, but they did not understand it. So the disciples went again into their own home, John tells us. And then we have Mary Magdalene. And she's weeping at the tomb, John tells us, John 20. She stooped, she's weeping, she looks into the tomb, she beholds two angels sitting. Do you see the angels are not all in the same place? So these angels weren't like just posted there. They were positioned slightly differently when Mary arrives. And so she sees the two angels. This is John chapter 20, verse 12. One at the head, one at the feet where the body of Jesus lay. And they say unto her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why weepest thou?" And she said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and the scripture says that she beholdeth. She saw Jesus standing. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. Now wait a minute. How could she not know it's Jesus? She's known him for 3 years, maybe, or a better part of that. How can she not know him? Because in her mind, her circumstances had become more real than her remembrance and her faith. Let me say that again. At this moment, her circumstances and her remembrance is stronger than her faith. She's seeing him, but she's not getting it. Like the disciples, they heard, but they're not getting it. And so, Jesus does something a little more personal, doesn't he? He becomes very personal with her. And he speaks to her. Jesus said unto her, verse 15, John 20, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She supposes him to be the gardener, and she said unto him, "Sir, if you have borne him, if you've taken him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will go take him away." And then Jesus does something that's really personal. He gets right to the heart of the matter and says, "Mary, Mary."
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Ready stands to save.